Hey there, everybody. This is Beyond the Beach, career conversations with graduates of Cal State Long Beach. I'm your host, Kenji Klein, Associate Professor of Management at the College of Business at California State University, Long Beach, where I teach business strategy, general management, and organization theory. In this show, I interview former students and recent graduates about life after Long Beach. Our conversations cover topics like how my guests chose a career path, how they landed their first job, and what it's been like to navigate the chaos, challenges, and opportunities of their early careers. My hope is that you will find their experiences useful and inspiring in helping you chart your path beyond the beach. My guest today is Dalia Arce. Dalia was a student in my business strategy class back in 2018 and now works as a financial analyst at Danone, not Danone, which is what I said initially, but works at Danone. Hey, Dalia, it's really great to have you here today.
Hello, pleasure to be here.
Great. So let's dive right in. I'm wondering if you could briefly just introduce yourself to the audience, who you are, when you graduated, what you studied, and what you're doing now.
All right. Hi, everybody. My name's Dalia Arce. So I graduated from Cal State Long Beach in 2018 with a BS in accountancy. So my focus was only accounting for college, right? So currently I'm a financial analyst for Danone, so many different ways to say it. So I work in a manufacturing plant. So that's my main focus. And
Okay, great. So you didn't start at Danone, right?
I know, you confused me. I was like, Danone, it's Danone.
I know, right? So, but you didn't start. But you didn't start there, your first job. Mm-mm. So I'm wondering if you just, let's go back to that. I'm wondering, actually, first question I have is, like, why did you pick accounting?
Yeah, like, who... by themselves.
But who in their right mind
decides to do, I want to do accounting. It's funny because I actually decided to do that in 12th grade of high school.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago now. So actually, so I didn't really know what path I wanted to do, even if I wanted to go to college or not. So when I was in high school, I did the requirements to be accepted straight to university without the intention of actually going to college. Okay. Because I'm first generation, so my mom and dad... my dad's from Mexico. My mom was, like, raised mostly, like, Spanish here, right? So it's not college and education wasn't the background or the main focus and push. It was actually by myself. And I was like, okay. I remember in high school, I was like, what job to get to earn a lot of money? After, like, okay. Career choices, right? And so after, I couldn't be an anesthesiologist, you know, the
highest
super earning high job ever.
Medicine profession, yeah.
Like, the attainable ones was accounting. And I don't have anybody, any family that's in accounting or anything like that. So I was like, how do I get to this? And I explored the different options. Like, you can go to a technical school, but you don't get a degree in accounting. You can get a certificate. I was like, you know what? When I go to college, I'll declare accountancy.
Okay.
So, and in high school, we actually had an accounting class offered at my high school in personal finance.
Right.
And a different finance class. So I actually took three of those.
Okay.
My 12th grade. So it kind of gave me a little... leverage and advantage to the people who didn't.
Right.
And then go to college, like, with no prior experience. And even, like, learning things like debit credits, I was exposed to them.
Yeah.
We did, like, T-charts
in
class.
Oh, gosh.
So it wasn't how fun, right? Right after lunch or PE.
Oh, no. I mean, I had a hard enough time paying attention to that when I was, like, much older and doing my MBA.
Imagine.
I just imagined doing that at 17, 18 years old.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
I think it was, like, 16, 17, because I'm, like, in the later months.
Yeah.
So, and I decided, and I declared it, and then that's what I did my whole... I didn't, like, ever think about changing it.
Okay.
Or, yeah, it was just account, and it was a difficult degree to get here, because, you know, it's challenging classes, and people say that's... I know people like, it's one of the harder business majors,
for sure.
Because it's a lot of technical aspects, even finance
is
also hard, but accounting, it's understanding it also, like, the background. So, it was a challenge, but I knew what I wanted to do.
So when you were in high school, was math, like, typically one of your stronger areas?
No, I wouldn't say my favorite subject was English.
Okay.
I liked writing essays. That was the one part. And math didn't come so easily to me. And how they say, like, that's mostly what I get. So I'm like, I say accounting, you're like, oh, you must be good at math.
Right.
Or you love math. I'm like, I'm indifferent to math.
Okay.
I don't hate it. I don't love it. But it's there and it's needed. And honestly, maybe the basic math is what I do now.
Right.
No complex calculations.
Right. You're not doing calculus. You're not doing derivatives.
It's control copy.
Yeah.
Control paste.
Right.
CP. Yeah. And you got to, like, just know that.
Right.
Honestly. And so if even if you think maybe I hate math, why would I want to do accounting? It's just numbers.
Yeah.
It's simple numbers. It's nothing complicated.
Right.
And it's funny because I'm like, some people like do math, like quick calculations in their head, even like 20% off, 35% off. They'll do it quick. Me, I'm like, let me take out my calculator. Right. Yeah. In the tip at the restaurant. I'm like, let me take it out.
Just
to be sure. But it comes naturally at work.
Okay. Because you're so used to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Got it. That's interesting, though, that English was your favorite. But you were just like, how do I get a job that pays a lot of money?
Yeah.
Saw the accounting. And you were just willing to just do the work that it took.
Yeah. And the practicalness of it.
Right.
And again, like, no one told me, like, you should be doing this or that. Like, sometimes I hear, like, from your other podcasts, like, my family wanted me to do this and follow that. And mine was by myself because I wanted to have a secure job in the future.
Yeah.
And I think accounting is pretty stays the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't change. It's needed during COVID. Finance is needed.
right.
No matter what.
So secure.
Things got to get paid.
Yep.
So that's why I think I wanted that for the long term.
Yeah. Great. So then, when you're a student then, you did the accountancy major. And were you involved in any kind of clubs or organizations, or did you do any of that stuff? You were just like, I'm getting the degree, and then I'm going to get a job.
Yeah, good question. So I did not do any kind of internships or, I know that there's an accounting society here. I listened to their pitches, but I honestly didn't have the leverage and the free time to do those since I had, two part-time-ish jobs.
Oh, okay.
I consumed a lot of my time outside of college.
Right.
And not everybody is so fortunate to be,
100%
focus on developing my college career. I had to work.
You were working. Okay.
Right. I was working. I had, two part-time jobs. I would drive from L.A. to Torrance to Long Beach late at night. Like, same zigzag everywhere. And if I did have the free time, I might consider it.
Right.
But I don't think it was necessary for the success that I have now.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Some people, it is helpful. Yeah. Right. Networking in college. But no, I didn't join any of those.
And then when you were a student, did you have a clear sense for exactly what type of accounting you wanted to do?
Yeah, that's also very interesting because accounting is so broad.
Right.
And so just to mention, I was a cost accountant before my current role, right, as a financial analyst.
Yeah.
And I just remember taking cost accounting and being like, this is like so hard for me.
Okay.
It was a difficult class. And everybody mentions in accounting, like, oh, can't wait to not take it.
Right.
You don't want to take that one. And actually, I had to take it twice.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't pass it the first time around. No, I didn't. So, and then I tried really hard the second time and I'm just passing it. And I'm like, okay, phew. I could continue with my degree and pass it. And I would have never seen myself actually focusing that as my career. And it's funny because I have friends that took cost accounting with me. And they're like, can you explain to me what it means, the ABC method? I'm like, no, but I'm a cost accountant.
That's what you're doing. So you took, so after you passed the class, you were like, phew, cost accounting is behind me.
Yeah,
I never have to worry about that again.
Never see you again. But no, it's so funny. My signature, I will chuckle to myself, like, cost accountant.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. So you, but you weren't like, because I know a lot of students are kind of like, oh, I want to be a public accountant and be at the Big Four, right? That's kind of like
That's a typical path, right?
Right, that's a typical path.
You want to be an auditor
for,
a few years, and then, ambitious, I want to become a partner.
Right.
But I heard it's many, many hours.
Yeah.
Right, and it might not be for everybody because I had friends who were auditors, and they quickly, switched. I'm in real estate now instead.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's
I know
a good,
several
like,
people.
Opening for, like, to explore because in auditing, this is – because I work with auditors at my current job.
Right.
I get audited like 2-3 times a year.
Right.
And I get audited by the Big Four. And I'm how do you guys like this job?
Right, right.
And they're like, oh, man. And because they're younger typically.
Right.
It's the people straight out of college. And they're like, honestly, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I know what I do and don't like.
Right.
So, for example, they visit my place, which is a manufacturing plant. And they're like, I kind of like how this is set up, it's busy,
right?
You make something, and then they explore sofa places, selling this,
right?
Then they explore this, and they kind of I think it's a good way if you're not sure what to do, you might see what you can possibly
Because you're
going
to see a bunch of different kinds of contexts, and then you might be like, oh, I like this one. I don't like that one.
That's what the, yeah, and that's what my friend did. He was like, he did, like, I guess, auditing a real estate place, and then that's where he's at right now.
That's interesting. But for you, when you were a student, so you took the cost accounting class, but you didn't have a vision of, like, what type of accounting I want to do.
No, I didn't have, like, specific, I'm only going to apply to this industry or these type of jobs.
Right.
I remember applying broadly to anything that might have said accountant, entry-level accountant. So I wasn't specific.
Yeah.
But luckily, like, the first place I got was an cost accounting job, actually.
So that's how, so I want to ask you, like, so how'd you find that first job? What was that process like?
Yeah.
And so, how did you manage that transition from being, like, a student who had been working two part-time jobs to being, like, now I'm a full-time accountant?
Yeah, so it is, right, it's a little difficult because my part-time jobs were in retail. One was at Macy's. I sold fragrances and makeup. And then another one's like account manager for a little startup. But, again, I talked to a lot of people day in and day out. So I was comfortable with that aspect. So now going from that to an office job, right, you like got to, like, assimilate a little bit more to the office people. Office, like, how would you say, the atmosphere of it.
Yeah.
Right. So it was just a random, you know, random job posting. Okay. Applied to it and it was local to me.
Okay.
So, and it was a cost accountant. I interviewed and it was this very small family owned business. You would think like straight out of college or, you know, some expectations are high for some people. Like, I want to be making six figures, this amount. But sometimes you have to work towards that.
Yeah.
So from that one, it was a lower paying job. Mm-hmm. But when was this? 2018, right? Yeah. The fall of 2018, like right after college. And so I wasn't making the money that I thought I was going to be making straight off the bat. It didn't line up
with what that Google search had said.
Right? You're like, oh, okay, 100 plus.
Yeah.
90, 80. Or I think at that time I remember saying like it was like an average, like 50.
Okay.
Something like that. But it wasn't that then. So at least. But the important part that I learned from that is you get your foot in the door some way, somehow, even though it might not be what you're expecting it. But if it aligns to what you might possibly want to grow into.
Right.
Do it.
Yeah.
Right. So I did it for about a year.
Okay.
And I learned a lot about manufacturing because it was so small. I kind of felt capped there. Right.
It's just
family. So family owned businesses. Sometimes they like to control a lot of the things because it's their business. They have the right to know exactly what you're doing.
Right.
Do it right. I'm paying you for this. You know. Right.
And it's their entire, it's like, it's their life savings as opposed to a company. It's just like, it's a job or whatever. Yeah. And they're stockholders. But this is like a small company. That's everything they've got is in that company.
Their hands touch like all the things, you know. So for mine, it's like, I used to do the bill of materials.
Yeah.
Which is like, we manufactured lamps.
Okay.
Right, in the city of Gardena. And so I learned how to make a lamp from beginning to end.
Okay.
Every single component. I can tell you, like, this washer, rubber washer, from beginning to end. You're like, what? Accounting? Very hands-on kind of job for a cost accounting because you're in manufacturing.
Right.
So I made the bombs in their ERP system, Enterprise Resource Planning.
Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't a big company, but those basic skills that I learned and gained from that job.
Yeah.
Open the door to something that's obviously like what I'm doing now, which I've been there for already about 5 years this summer now.
So a couple things jump out at me. One of them is, you know, when you're in a small family firm, right, you don't have a big infrastructure for training you in the kind of work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so you're basically going into that job relying on what you've learned in school to actually do like real, the accounting for this little small family firm.
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, that's true. You know, like sometimes you might have like standard operating procedures are typical at big companies.
Right.
You do this way, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 laid out for you. There it was learning as I'm going.
Okay.
And then the controller there, she also taught me a little bit of not just because it was confidential, like financial information. She did teach me like some tax, like tax recon, the state tax. Yeah. And that's what I learned through her.
Right.
You know, and any questions I had were just through her. And it's maxes out there. Like, there's not many outside resources or mentors that were there that you could reach out to. So it was a lot of on the job learning. So you're taking.
So you had to think through, like, in this manufacturing situation, you had to pull on that cost accounting knowledge that you had hoped to put behind you to figure out how to do that in this context. And did you do that all on your own, just like figuring it out, like thinking it through and stuff?
It was a lot of figuring it out,
yeah,
obviously, because I've never worked in a manufacturing plant before.
Right.
So I had to learn, like, myself, these are the parts and this is how they go. So from your cost accounting knowledge, you're like, because, like, it's explains basically the costing of the whole product, right?
Right.
So you would have, I learned the stuff that I learned from there,
right,
and applied it, like, okay, hours times this, mm-hmm, to that for this part.
Right.
For this lamp.
Right.
So it's kind of the basic knowledge that I had here.
Yeah.
And I was able to apply it.
And then think it through. Okay.
Yeah. It was a lot of thinking through, remembering, and then kind of things that make sense to you. Because, yeah, like it's not like general knowledge, but if you studied it in college,
right,
it kind of comes more naturally.
Okay.
There.
Got
it. It was important.
Yeah. And so then in that process of doing all that, you developed a whole broader set of accounting skills.
Yeah. And it's skills that are, you know, it's a very niche. So I would consider it more of a niche market because I'm trying to hire my backfill for my role.
Right.
Cost accountant.
Because you got promoted to this financial analyst role. So basically the job that you had, you need somebody there now.
Yes. And it's been vacant since about October, guys.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a few months.
Okay.
So, and it's hard to find someone that has cost accounting experience, likes it, and is in manufacturing. And then let's just put on top of another curveball of food and beverage manufacturing.
Right.
Because you can manufacture, like, metal parts.
Right.
Medical devices. And it isn't the same as...
Yeah. But you made a transition from lamps to
I did. To, I to was food, given to food the opportunity.
Beverages, to beverages, right?
Yeah, and that's really, like, the understanding basics of the manufacturing, I was able to apply it to the food and beverage, too.
Okay.
So even though I don't have a bomb, you know, the bill of materials for a lamp, I have a recipe for the milk.
I see.
I have the recipe for the iced coffee.
Right. So you can go off the ingredients and the different costs that are associated with that and the process and stuff. So you were at the small place for a year. You decided to move because?
Because one aspect was very small, right? And I think I gained the experience for me to make a jump to something bigger.
Right.
Right. So, and I was obviously looking for bettering my earnings also.
Yep.
You know, like sometimes if you want to make more money, you have to job hop or, you know, go around. Because then if not, you can stay comfortably there for 20 years.
Right.
Making the same money, maybe small incremental parts every time.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to be making as much as if you were to go somewhere new.
Well, unless they grow, they can't pay you anymore, right?
Yeah. And actually, spoiler alert, they closed down during COVID.
Oh.
No, nobody's because we did a lot of lamps for hotels.
Oh.
Hotels. Yeah. So
hotels
were
struggling.
I left that place summer 2019.
Okay.
I was there one full year.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened 2020.
Okay.
Right, February.
Right.
So I just made it out right on time.
Okay. So how did you find so from that job, you went straight to Dunnone, right? So how did you find that job, and what was that transition like?
Okay, yeah. So I was looking around, and I wasn't applying to many places unless I felt like I met the criteria, and that's what I want to be able to check mark whatever requirements that they have. And fortunately for this one, I did see it on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Right? LinkedIn is very important because a lot of recruiters are on there. All my coworkers are on there.
Okay.
You see where they go into. You see the industries that they're in, and you keep in touch with them through there. And actually this one, so I applied. I saw the job posting. I applied through it. And
so you just saw the job posting. You saw it on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn, yeah. Okay. And you could
and your profile on LinkedIn was all up to date.
Up to date, yeah. You know, and I think you could put actively looking.
Okay.
So it lets the recruiters and other people know that you're interested in finding a new job.
Right.
And then the HR generalist that works where I currently work at, she reached out to me through there because I saw you apply to our job. Do you mind hopping on a quick phone call?
Okay.
For the screening.
Yeah.
And I did it through there. And I passed the initial phone screening. Then I had another phone screening with the controller.
Right.
Which is more the analytical hard skills that you might have.
Yeah.
And if from there, then I went to an in-person interview. So it's a process for interviewing. Yeah,
sure.
In-person interview with the controller, the financial analyst, HR. And then I waited about a week. You know, they interview other candidates. And then I got the offer right after. And I was, like, super ecstatic. Like, I was super happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, now it's, like, it's more official, this place, right?
Right.
Offer letter.
Right. Right.
Put your amount. Right. For, like, it says 401k. It right. says this type of bonus, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I was happy for FTO, which is flexible time off.
Okay.
The other place, I had to, like, you know, accrue your hours.
Right.
Like, typical.
Right.
This one's, like, unlimited. And I was super happy and then nervous, obviously, like, okay, where
so
do I flex, go?
So FTO, sorry, flexible yeah. time off means you don't have an official number of hours that you can take.
No.
You can take as much as you feel is appropriate.
As much as you want.
Okay. And then I imagine that there are some companies where that exists and what it means is nobody ever takes any time off.
That's what I read before, right?
Right.
So FTO companies do it so they don't have to pay off your vacation
right.
earned time. It's like a loophole. And people are actually discouraged from actually taking it off
right.
because of XYZ reasons, right? We need you, blah,
yeah.
blah. But since Danone is a French company.
Oh,
Danone. It's a French-owned company that has yep. many, many products all around the world, right. every single country. They utilize their FTO.
Got it. Yes,
and
right.
They
the European it. European work culture is very different.
Much better. Yes. Yeah. I'm like, oh, nice, nice. Like, this is perfect. So actually, a lot of people at my place use and, you know, take advantage of yeah. the FTO.
Okay.
And that's super important. And so when I'm looking for other jobs, like if I am looking now,
right.
I'm like, okay, do you offer FTO?
Right, right, right.
A lot of jobs I'm seeing 15 days, 14 days paid out. Yeah. I'm like, keeping me there for.
Yeah, 15 days is basically, it's like just 3 weeks in a whole year.
I took that already.
That's rough.
From January to now.
Yeah, that's rough to have that few.
Imagine, yeah. So, no, it's really helped with my work-life balance.
Okay, right.
With the FTO.
Great. So you got there.
Mm-hmm.
You applied, you got in. How was that starting at a new place, starting at a bigger company? Were there any challenges that you faced? How'd you like it?
Yeah, so obviously, going from a very small business to this manufacturing plant is 24/7.
Okay.
They don't stop.
It's, okay.
You know, from January to, like, the end of the year, they don't, nothing.
And it specifically is making?
So we make Horizon Organic Milk.
Okay.
The ones you might see on Starbucks, the little cartons for the kids. We make.
It's like the red with the cow.
Yes,
on it
the little yep. cow jumping.
Yeah.
We make Stoke. Cold brew. Okay. We have many different flavors. At my plant, we also make Silk Milk, which is all the dairy alternatives.
The almond
plant beverage.
Soy.
Oat, cashew.
Yeah.
We make an International Delight Creamer. So okay. if you enjoy coffee, more than likely you've tried our creamer before. And for the Super Bowl, we had like 3 commercials.
Oh, okay.
Wow, and I'm big spenders, those guys.
No kidding. Wow, okay.
They had the Oikos 3G Energy, the Silk Milk. Yeah. And Brixham, that European soccer club.
Oh, okay.
They sponsor Brixham, which
I see.
Ryan Reynolds owned, if fun fact. But yeah.
right.
So I'm like, oh, this is, it's a big jump. It's a big transition.
Yeah.
From, you know, family owned to it's an actual corporation now. And they right. have like procedures to yeah. follow. Yeah. I had it was very different because when I first got hired, they gave me my own personal laptop to use.
Okay.
And again, remember, like this, I'm a first generation, like, first of all, student, and then like, basically like a worker.
Yeah.
In the American corporate culture, even though it's manufacturing, it's still corporate culture.
Yep.
I get my own laptop, and then I get my own work phone.
Right.
So I'm like, well, now I have 2 phones. Now I'm like, okay, do I have to turn this laptop in? Like at the end of the day?
No. Right.
Like that's take yours. It home, you keep it.
right.
I'm like, okay. So and then I'm like, I'll get my own cubicle space, and they're like, oh, order whatever, like keyboard and like stuff that you want.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, like, and they offered me like a travel card, so if I travel, I can right. put my meals on it. And I'm like, I wasn't used to.
So you weren't used to all these perks of being in like big corporation.
None right? of them. Yeah.
And no one in your family had any of that kind of stuff, and then when you're at the small family business, you didn't have it. So suddenly mm-hmm. it was just like. what is this world I'm in where people like just give me stuff?
What do I like? What was I didn't expect anything.
Right.
And then also like when I first started, they do onboarding for new hires.
Yeah.
And I got flown out to White Plains, New York.
Okay.
Ooh. So like my first month in, my boss, the controller at the time, was like, "Hey, I signed you up. This right. is like to know the company a little bit better, know our core values. Right. You know, every company has their agenda of like hope and this and." Yep. And all that. And so then I was in New York for a few days and I'm back. I'm like, what? Like, it was right. just totally new to me. And again, this place has 340 employees.
Okay.
A big bulk of them are operators out on
this place means specifically the plant that you're in.
The plant. Yes, right. yes. The plant that I'm at in West Covina, right. just that one has 340 employees, yeah. but it's a corporate network, right? My boss's boss is in a corporate level,
yeah.
like director of finance.
Yeah.
And at the plant level, it's just me, the controller, and then business analyst.
Right.
And then.
So was there anything, I mean, so the perks were probably nice.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit different for you.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything that was challenging about it? Or was it just like, oh, compared to my prior job, this is just way easier?
Yeah. Yeah, of course it's challenging because the volume of items produced went up a lot. So right. the workload definitely changed, and I had to learn SAP.
Okay.
So now I'm pretty good at SAP, but before, right. like, and that's essential. A lot of manufacturing jobs that I look at, it's like SAP, yeah. Oracle,
right.
like mandatory. It yeah. was a great learning opportunity, and I really took advantage of my boss. I would consider him my mentor. So the controller, right. like he was open to teaching me.
Right.
He said, you might not have the experience of a big corporate right. company,
yeah.
but you have the fundamentals. And he developed me
okay.
all those years, 4 or 5 years. And obviously having a good boss at any job
yeah.
is a major, major, major perk.
Yeah, for and sure.
Yeah, so yeah. anything I didn't understand, he was willing to help me. And then I liked how he knew my role, like from beginning to end.
Right.
So sometimes you might have a boss that doesn't know what you're doing.
Right.
Just like, just do it. Just manage.
Right.
Doesn't understand. And he was a very understanding yeah. guy. And so it made it much easier. And the main challenge is, like, I know, like, you asked, like, what challenges did you face is adapting to having to work with people who were raised and know that corporate culture, right? Quote, right. unquote, I'm using
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, air quotes,
like, the
right.
lingo, like, if you're in a Zoom, like, a Teams call.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, well, all the redundancy of the words and words and right. words. And you have to, like, make small talk. You have Got to it. Do, besides, like, actual your work output.
Right.
I feel like you have to have a sharpened image of how you talk and how you, like, speak with people.
Got it.
And that's a challenge I might have had myself was imposter syndrome, obviously.
Right.
Very,
right.
very strong for me was, like, am I fit for this? Like, in finance, right. like, so it's funny because currently my controller just left, right? So
right.
It's a vacant position right okay. now. And honestly, he's like the number one reason why I've stayed there so long.
Yeah.
And it's like now I'm the finance contact for the plant.
Oh, wow.
So you think like that's a lot of current, like obviously I have help from like the outside, like remote workers helping me sure. out too. But any question that the plant has, it's like directed to me.
Right. That's like, a lot right of responsibility then
and,
now,
and you
right?
think. But, and I think to myself, like, is that really? Like, they're like, Dahlia, what's our budget? What's this?
Right.
What's the volume? Can you tell me, you know,
yeah.
like the terms that you learn in class, like SWOT, like yeah. that's been like brought up to me too.
Yeah.
So it's like really pushed me into that.
Okay.
A little bit more recently now.
Right.
That imposter syndrome is like, again, like, okay.
Oh, it's kicked. So when you first, got in, this is actually really, I think this is common, right? So it's like
yeah.
you first got in. And you're a really different background from a lot of the people that were there. So mm-hmm. then you had this imposter syndrome feeling until you got comfortable, right?
Yeah.
With the culture
yeah.
and knowing how to do the lingo and realizing
I got the gist of it.
And you understood how to do the job and your work, you know, all of that. And then you just got promoted.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're mm-hmm. in a different role.
Yeah.
And so it happens all over again.
Yeah, it yeah. does. You think you're like, okay, I'm doing good. Like you said, like I nailed it down,
yeah.
right? The 4 years, like. Cycle counts, waste reporting, using yeah. the SAP. I got it locked down. Like,
yep.
Good. But now that I'm transitioning to the financial analyst, actually, I switched to, I used to be in a cubicle. Now I'm like in a big bigger office.
So you have, you have your own office?
I have my own office now. Yeah. That's so nice. It plays even more because I have like huge windows.
Uh-huh.
It's like how the plant is set up. It's super funny because you have like the plant director, right? The main guy. Uh-huh. And then you have the HR director. Uh-huh. Even though this is a plant, again, a manufacturing plant, you have the HR director, operations manager, controller, and then me.
Okay.
Right there. Just lined up along the, and they call it the nice side.
Uh-huh.
That's what the people like. And I'm really engaging with the operators and both sides.
Right.
So, and I can easily, just maybe because my background, like, you know, speaking Spanish, my parents, my family, it reminds me a lot of the people who are already there.
Right.
So I'm comfortable going with that side.
Right.
Right. And then going to this side, I have to say, you know, it's a little small talk here and there, passing all these higher levels, like senior people.
Yeah.
And it really did kick in again since October. I'm like learning it again.
Right.
And I'm the finance contact. I had to like step into it.
Right.
And like if I don't know the answer, like I kind of expected to know the answer.
Sure.
Right. Especially because like you think you just got promoted. You have this, that.
So what do you do? What do you do? They ask you a question and you're not sure you have the right answer. Do you tell them?
No, it's funny. I'm like, they walk in. I'm like, I hope you have an easy question.
Okay. So that's kind of being really, you're being open about
it. Yeah. Like, okay. No, I am, because people see me and I'm easy to get along with, like talking. And, you know, I've already been there 5 years. I'm pretty comfortable with them all. But if I don't know the answer, I said, of course, you know, let me, some pointers. Let me find out. I don't know right now.
Right.
But let me find out. I'll reach out to somebody. That's like usually my go-to.
Yeah.
Sometimes I know the answer. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. This is an easy one. Thank you.
Right.
If not, I'm like, Dahlia, can you check the budget for how much we spent this month so far? I'm like, if I don't know it right there.
Right.
I'll find out. I'll come back to you. And then I feel bad. Like sometimes I forget.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, and I just don't want people to think she doesn't know what she's doing.
Right.
So I'm extra like answering the questions and making sure we're like all on the same page.
Right.
Whatever kind of risk that they like want or like questions, I know the answer to that.
Okay.
So I guess that imposter syndrome doesn't go away.
Right.
Right. So as a financial analyst, it's different. I'm doing like, you know, both roles because we're trying to get the other position filled as cost accountant. So I'm like, now I feel like I can't do both.
Yeah.
All the way until those get backfilled. But it's, sometimes it's a hard
job. So if anyone out there knows a good cost accountant and wants to work at the known.
And to add to that, today I had to interview somebody and I've never really interviewed people.
So that's another skill you're having to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, let me just tell you, it is hard to interview.
Yeah.
I mean, this doesn't count though. This doesn't count. But even being on the other side of interviewing a potential candidate, you know, like an employee, it's kind of like, it's hard. You get nervous too. I'm like, I'm getting nervous asking you the questions.
Right. Well, and then also it's not just like you do the interview. It's like, I need to understand whether or not this person is going to be a good fit for this job. So it really matters that you're asking the right questions and listening carefully and then trying to figure out how do I decide, right?
Yeah, like you're saying, like, did they answer right?
Yeah.
If they don't know it, can they possibly know it? Right. You have to be like a really good judge of character.
Yeah.
Right then and there. And it's something I haven't had to do before.
Right.
I've never interviewed anybody else.
Yeah.
I've never had the decision, right? That's a big decision for some people. Yeah. Like, are you here or you're not? Will you be here long term? And it's funny because I even asked the HR lady that was next to me today. I was like, she's like, even I get nervous doing interviews.
Right.
So just for people out there who potentially might interview in the future, walk in with confidence and, you know, be confident in your interview answer. Like, both ends are kind of like at the same point. Like, might be nervous too. Like,
That's interesting. It's like, one strategy for going in for an interview is like, I'm going to make sure that the interviewer feels comfortable, put them at ease, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're confident, then they'll feel a little bit like, okay, they're not going to be as...
Yeah, it makes it easier for both sides of the party. Yeah,
that's interesting. So now, presumably, at some point, you will have done enough of these things that you will no longer have the imposter syndrome. It's going to go away again, right?
You would think, but I never really thought about it too right now.
Yeah.
So let's say, like, my goal, right? So the path for... this, it's laid out like this, like a cost accountant / business analyst going to production, financial analyst, which is more on the reporting, balance sheets, recons, journal entries. And then from there, you want to be a controller for the plant. which right. is a very higher role.
Yeah.
Very experienced. Difficult.
Yep.
Right. Especially, like, again, food and beverage. I think I want to stay in this path. And then I think once I get, let's say a few years from now, I do get a controller job. Yeah. Do I get that feeling all over again?
Right.
I'm curious. I'm like, these people trusted me to get this job
right.
done.
Right.
So, and I think it might happen again.
Yeah, it might. But then maybe this time you'll be like, I've been through this twice. I realize, yeah, it's going to be new challenges, but I dealt with it before. I can do it again.
Yeah.
And there must have been a reason they picked you.
Yeah, so. I'm close with my boss, which is basically my mentor.
Yeah.
He's experienced many different sectors in banking, Nestle,
right.
XYZ. And he says, he always like reassures me, like, we got you for a reason. You're learning. You're doing this great. I promoted you for a reason.
Right.
You know, so he's been really reassuring also.
Yeah.
So I think besides you thinking it yourself, having people around you that.
Right. So that's where that thing that you said about how important it is to have a good boss.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that cliche, people don't quit jobs.
Right.
They
quit bosses. Yeah. It's like people stay at a company that's mediocre if the boss is really good or the company could be really great, but if they got a terrible boss, they're just
you're going to jump ship as soon as you as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that made me stay for quite a while. So
there's two things in that. So one is, you know, if you got a good boss, you should be thankful you got a good boss. Two is, if you're a boss, don't be an idiot. Like, don't be a bad boss.
No, and that's what I wrote, like, in his goodbye letter. I was like, I might not find a boss like you again, but I hope to become one like you.
That's cool.
And I gave him that. I'm like, the things that I've learned, how you like managed me, I want to be able to manage other people.
Yeah.
So I think, like, with this cost accountant role, I can probably, like, you know, practice.
Right. So you have a good model for what a good boss is.
Yeah.
So that can help you be a good boss because you know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that'll definitely, I'm pretty sure that'll help in the long haul.
Yeah.
Too. And the people that I work with I see a lot of them are good leaders. Yeah. That's actually what they call themselves now, right? Leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm this leader.
Right,
I'm
right, as a boss,
they don't really use that word anymore, but I do. But, they're like leaders, and it's like servant leadership.
Right.
Is a term, like, that my company uses a lot.
Yeah.
Which is, we're not just here to boss and, like, manage. We're here to serve the people who serve us.
Right.
And that's so important because, like, in my job, it's, like, a lot of collaboration between different departments, and you have to be, like, a people person.
Yeah,
it's super important. Yeah, you can get the technical.
Accountants have to be people persons.
Wow, new reveal right here. it's hard. It's hard, but
so it actually probably was really helpful that English was your favorite subject when you were in high school.
I was writing, talking. I could talk forever.
Yeah, that's good. That's really interesting.
Yeah, because you got to, even though, like, the numbers are, you know, being reported out, you got to explain them.
Yeah,
and you got to explain them to a way that your audience knows what it means.
Right.
Because accounting could just be like boring, blah, 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 negative finance, waste. What? You got to like ease them into it. Like, hey, you overspent.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're going to have to do more gallons next month to meet your productivity.
Right.
you know? Yeah. And my boss is good at communicating bad news, good news, all the news. So I've learned that a lot.
That's good. That's really cool. So let me ask you this. If you could go back into time and talk to yourself when you were a student, I always ask this question of everybody.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say?
Let's see. So I would tell myself that don't be in a rush to compare yourself so quick and say, I need to be at this position, making this much money at this point. Because it's so easy to compare. So I'll be like, stop comparing yourself and take it all in what's currently around you, like being grateful for what you have, what you've learned, and what you're going through. Yeah. You might think like, oh, man, like all the little things, all the bad tests like you might take or like if you don't like succeed right then and there, like that doesn't define you.
Right.
Right. So if like for me, for example, like cost accounting, hey, you passed it. I mean, you failed it the first time.
Right.
Taking it the second time, like, that didn't matter because, like, where you are now.
Yeah, right.
You're
right.
Stressing about this. It doesn't really translate like after like 8-10 years, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. That's really interesting. Right. Like I can imagine that you could go through that experience not passing that and then just being like really down on yourself and thinking cost accounting is something I'm never going to be able to do.
Yeah, what if I saw the job as like, oh, cost accounting, I hated that class. I'm not going to apply to it.
Right.
So no, be open to change. Be open to anything goes on around you. Like take it in and like learn from that.
Yeah.
Learn from that and apply it to the future, you know. And for me, it's like be grateful. Like college was a good time.
Yeah.
Even though like you think like, oh, all the studying, all the like tests and going to class and juggling like two jobs. It was a fun, easy time. I remember like I had more free time back then actually.
Yeah.
Than I do now.
That sounds really rough when you say going to college full time and having two jobs though.
Yeah. It does. But when I look back at it, like I don't think I would honestly change anything or much because I'm currently at the position that I probably do want to be in.
Yeah.
Right. And I do see myself doing this in the future.
Yeah.
So, you know, enjoy college. You know, if it doesn't go your way, it's okay.
Yeah.
If it does, even better. But don't like sulk in anything too much.
Right. So just pick yourself up. Keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm curious if there's any aspects of your college education that you found particularly valuable. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think there were any skills or knowledge areas that you wished you had focused on a little bit more?
Yeah, so, you know, college, you take so many classes, and then you remember random things of each class. Like, from your class, I remember doing the study from the iPhone, the BlackBerry case.
Yeah,
right. I don't know if you still do that now.
Do you do the BlackBerry? I'm trying to find a case that does as good a job of capturing two different knowledge areas as that one, and I still haven't found one.
No, so let's keep using it. It works. Yeah. It's broken. Don't fix it.
Yeah.
But, so every class might have offered, you know, different lessons or, like, I love learning and hearing, like, personal, like, stories from the professors.
Right.
Right. I think that is more the applicable, like, stories that you can apply to now. Like, I remember my professor talking about this.
Yeah.
And that. And then even the classes that might not seem like relevant to your major, you still learn something from them. Like I was mentioning earlier, like I took theater class like at the end and I liked going to the theater. So that kind of like progressed after college. I still like plays, movies. Yeah. Like I really enjoyed that. And I really like also even my finance class, my professor, I had Professor McNulty.
I think
he's still here.
Uh-huh. Right, still here.
I had him in from his first year of teaching college, like teaching like ever was his first class.
Right.
Finance 300.
Okay.
And his personal, I just remember his personal stories were what I listened to the most and like remember those.
Right.
So, you know, don't take your professors for granted because like their stories you'll remember.
Okay.
And like their own personal experiences are really helpful and insightful.
Yeah.
To your current job or your current like situations. Like for you, specifically, I know it's going to be like, well, you remember this? But I just had random memory.
Could be terrible, though. No,
this is like, I remember you saying after college, like, not to not do it, but like, get some work experience and then get your MBA.
Oh, right.
I do remember that.
I was like, telling you, don't go straight into it.
Yes. I remember, sorry, I didn't. Yeah. Not just because of you, but I want to, you know, learning from work and actual applicable skills.
Yep.
It's honestly more important than just education.
Right.
And so if you get like a candidate that doesn't have any relevant experience versus just like, and with the MBA, but a candidate that has relevant experience and perhaps open to getting an MBA certification, you'll probably pick the one that most aligns with you. And I'm just hoping for later on to get a job that pays for my MBA.
Yeah, right.
So I don't have to do it out of pocket.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting.
Okay. On that one.
So it's possible. And it's just, you'll remember the tidbits, random ones.
Okay.
And they'll be applicable.
So basically just like enjoy whatever the things that you're getting that are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool. I want to talk about work-life balance.
Yeah.
So you have a situation now where you're allowed to take, you have the flexible time off.
Yes.
But I'm guessing that there are times when work is pretty intense also. And you said that you're more busy now than you were when you were a student working two jobs. So yeah. I'm curious, like, how do you manage that work-life balance thing?
It is difficult because it's so easy to just work, and then go home and do nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And but since I would consider myself a pretty social person, I do make time to see my friends and family.
Okay.
Like there's some weekend, like some months I'll be booked and busy every weekend.
Right.
I'm seeing this friend. I'm seeing this. I'm doing this with my family. Yeah. So it's really making sure that I still have time to do things like that. And if I utilize that flexible time off to get a random Monday off or Friday off to reset.
Okay.
I really take advantage of those just random days because, honestly, work can be overwhelming. So, like, right now, my current position is, like, okay, two roles,
no boss. Yeah, right. Like, that's right.
And they're working hard. I know they're working hard to backfill those roles, but it's...
Sure.
It's...
But it hasn't happened yet. So, you're doing your old job and a new job at the same
big
time.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
So, it is difficult, but I... And, like, for month end and accounting and finance... You're busy during month end because you're trying to close the books, close the month. So I do work longer hours. But when my boss used to be there, I used to call them rollover hours. Right. So the hours that I work a little extra long, Friday, I'm going to take Monday. I'm like, hey, boss, I'm leaving early because my rollover hours.
Yeah.
And I just go.
Yeah.
Or like now, like if I'm lucky enough to have the autonomy to decide like what. How long I'm working.
Yeah.
Kind of like it's not like 9 to 5.
Yeah.
I have to be here from this to that.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, if my work is getting done, my boss is happy with what I'm doing, I'm taking the time to focus on whatever I need to do. Like I can leave early for a doctor appointment or anything like that. So honestly,
Did you feel that way from the beginning, or was like at first you had to put in your time and then you started feeling like, okay, now I can kind of step back and say, hey, I'm going to take some time for myself?
I would say in the beginning, I did have to, you know, like it's still new.
Yeah.
I'm still the new person. So I was learning to navigate both, but still I did put in my FTO. Like I remember I was like, I didn't put my birthday for the first year, but I put it for next year, and I joke with my boss, hey, my time off for my birthday next year is in 1 year ahead of time.
Okay.
I'm like, do not worry. I will be taking
it. Right. We know
I
that.
I will be.
This is a fact.
Yes. So he knew, like, every time I was like, it's my birthday month. He's like, I never even see you this month. Like, we'll be just joking like that. But, I did establish myself as a reliable person that works. And I know, like, they're, like, grateful that I'm there.
Yep.
Because it everything's still afloat, so
right, the plant hasn't burned down yet, or
you're whatever. Still getting your milk somehow, that's right, guys.
Still see the silk in the store.
Yes.
Yep.
I think it's very important to have both. So even after work, I'll take time for myself. I don't get nervous to be out by myself or anything. I'll go have a happy hour.
Yeah.
At the close to Calaveras, like BJ's.
Right.
Drink. Go, relax, whatever is on, like, the music or whatever.
Right.
Walk around the mall by myself. That's, the me time.
Okay.
Some people, I have to, do the gym, do this, that. Right. Me, it's just my own time whenever I can fit it. So even, during work, maybe I'll take, a lap around the plant.
Right.
Just walk off, whatever stress I have. So it's just important to make sure you're mindful of that because it's so easy to just be in the desk. Sending your Teams call, your emails.
Right.
But no, remember, you could step away, go chat.
Yeah.
Step away after work.
So you kind of have to, I think, you have to pay attention to what's going on inside of you and make sure you're giving yourself the breaks that you need.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy to ignore what you're actually feeling and experiencing and
just
power through.
Yeah. So make sure, you balance that. Like, you cannot just be working all the time. Like, I could, if I wanted to. Or, if I felt the need to, I could be working, extra long hours.
Sure.
There's always work to be done, but there's always time for
yourself. So what you just said is, if I wanted to, I could be working lots of extra hours.
There's a lot of work. There's always work,
No, but
guys.
I'm just, that idea, I'm trying to imagine a situation in which that would be really what I wanted to
do. Right? Never. I mean, I don't know why I said that. but there's always work there.
There's always work to do.
That's what I'm trying to convey. You know, there's always work.
Yeah.
And it will never be done.
Right.
No matter what, no matter what you can do, there's always going to be something new that pops up.
Yeah.
Yep. And don't worry, like, I'll be there tomorrow.
Right.
I'll be there after the weekend.
Right.
Especially on Friday. You're like, ah, that's a Monday.
Yeah.
It's a Monday situation. I'll follow up on Monday.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It's, there's never a scarcity of work. It's not like, you know, it's not like you go to Costco and there's a run on work and you can't get any work. No, there's like, always enough work.
Supply and demand. There's right. always that's, a there's lot always, of supply.
Exactly.
Super supply of work.
That's right.
No, it's like what they say, like people, when they're like, their dying wish isn't, I wish I had more work.
Right, exactly.
Never. Nobody. It's like, I wish I had time to go enjoy the park.
Yeah.
Exactly. I wish I saw a sunset.
Yep.
Anything like that.
Yeah. So you just have to be mindful of that and just make sure that you're taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. And do whatever. Whatever makes you, like, take care of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Take time for that.
So then the other question I want to ask you then is, like, from your point of view, and maybe it's related and maybe it's different or there's mm-hmm. aspects of both, is, like, you know, what does success mean to you? And, like, how has your definition of it changed since, say, you were a college student?
So remember, like, I decided in 12th grade, mm-hmm. I want to do this and have a steady job. So I guess some part of that is still like instilled in me, right? Yeah. You want to have a job that's reliable and steady.
Yep.
But at the same time, success now to me is being someone that my little brother and my family mm-hmm. can like be proud of.
Right.
Be accomplished. So whatever that might mean.
Right.
So it might mean through work. It might mean through my own personal actions. But as long as like they're proud of what I'm doing, what I've become, you know, like all the, like the schooling and work I've done, like, they're like, she did it. Like I used to take the bus from Compton all the way over here.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, the blue line and then the bus 40-minute drive.
Right.
It was hard. It was difficult, but like, they know that I went through it. Like, and I did it. So it's success is like being able to show like your hard work.
Yeah.
And then before I used to think, and it was funny, it was like, as long as I can afford going out to eat every now and then, that's successful to me.
Right.
You know, having the money to enjoy the restaurant like every weekend or whatever. But it's just really being happy with what you do. And like, especially for me, it's just like, I want to be a role model to my little brother.
Yeah.
So, and I always explain to him like, hey, Daniel, like, what do you, because he's only 13.
Okay.
So
okay.
He's just an eighth grader right now, so he might not take me serious.
Sure.
Or he'll be like, whatever.
Right.
But
right.
He would be. He's an eighth grade boy, like a teen boy. What do you expect?
Yep.
But I show him like, hey, like, look at the job that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And like, I can afford to like take you out. Like we go to Disney.
Right.
We go to the beach. Like even I'm driving my little Prius Prime, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if you work hard for your things. Like, it's not just given to you.
Yeah.
So I just show him, like, there's people that need to take the bus.
Yeah.
There's people who can't take, like, for me, I'm home every weekend.
Right.
Right. So if I hang out with him, like, I have the weekends off. I have the holidays off. The same time that he has off for school, I have off also. So I'm like, a lot of people might not have that.
Right.
They have to work through the weekend, night, miss your birthday.
Right.
So I'm like, I want you to be, like, in the future, something. You don't have to be an accountant, but maybe something that you're able to work and live the way you want it to be.
Yeah.
That's what success is.
Yeah, so it's being able to be that role model to inspire, to really have that value for your family.
Yes. Yeah. Especially like first generation, my dad grew up in Mexico.
Right.
In the mountains, like up in a rancho. Like,
oh, okay.
No running water and electricity in the 90s, 80s.
Wow.
My mom also was like born in South Central LA, you know, Spanish was her primary language. And it's for my dad and my mom, it's like what I'm doing. It's nothing like they could probably like fathom, you know, like but the workload and like the different, just even just a different lifestyle that one can provide for themselves. So that's what it means to me. Yeah.
That's cool. And so that has changed a little bit.
It did. Yeah. Before I was like, you have this, you have the car, you have the apartment, you have this. It's not, now it's not like monetary.
Right. But to some extent, it's kind of like you did achieve all those things.
Yeah.
So, and then you can kind of readjust and be like, hey, what's the bigger picture here?
Yeah, because you could have those things and not be successful.
Yeah.
In your own mind.
Right.
There's always like people who want more or not this. It's really taking it in and being grateful.
Yeah.
As I try to remind myself every day too, like even though you're like, oh, I don't want to go to work today. Like, I just want to go home. Like, nah, I should be grateful because it provides this to me. I can get this, that, whatever that means, you know.
Yeah, that's really great. And I guess normally I like might ask, like, what's next for you? But you've just moved into this new position.
Yeah.
And so it's really about learning that position really well.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, right?
Developing myself
in
this role as a financial analyst, right? So learning it more.
Right.
Being what they call a SME subject matter expert.
Okay.
Anything financially, like, related. And again, like, the typical path would be a controller of a plant. So I hope to either, I'm not sure if it's at this location or this industry.
Right.
A controller can, again, like I seen on LinkedIn, like a lot of similar, like, job titles as mine or as a controller. That's probably the future for me. And then from there, it's like, it could be director of finance.
Right.
So it could be like, you can incrementally
go up and do more.
Yeah.
And more.
It opens the door to many things. And and I'm still like, I'll be keeping an eye on LinkedIn.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Cause a lot of jobs are on there and recruiters. And I get messages, like, I used to get, like, before when I was open, it was like a lot of messages from recruiters. And obviously, like, it could be substantially more money. Mm-hmm. But if I feel like I don't align with it, I don't apply.
Right.
I don't apply. Like, this might not be the core values that I either believe in or if I'm proud to work for a company like that.
Yeah.
And it could be, like, 30K, 20, 40K more. And when I'm ready, I feel like I can do the jump.
Right.
And that's sometime in the future. We'll see.
Yeah. So you have it sounds like you have a really strong sense for what fit mm-hmm. looks like for you.
Yeah.
Right. And you're holding to that instead of just chasing the money or chasing whatever else.
Yes. Because I know it's so easy to be just looking at dollar signs and saying, I want this, I want that. And I took a personality test through my job. It offered it. I forgot which one it was, but it was like, you value this over that.
Yeah.
And one of them was like, you value like aesthetic and like your life balance versus only pursuing money.
Yeah.
So you typically would go for jobs like this.
Right.
Even though accounting isn't on there because you would think accounting is money.
Yeah, right.
it's a fit for me.
Yeah.
So, I value that more. And again, like my mentor, right? Mm-hmm. So my boss was very adamant about that. Like, you have to like what you're doing.
Yeah.
He says, like, after a certain point of making X amount of money, it's just money, and you will get taxed more, first of all.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of, you'll be, like, heavily taxed.
Yeah.
But so sometimes do what you actually like and love doing, and, like, you're proud to go into work and represent that company.
Right.
Versus if it's, like, you're paying me a lot, but I have no life, and I hate it, I don't think that's worth it to me.
Right.
And it might be worth it to some people, you know. Some people are like could be just money oriented, but I personally am more on my life oriented and balance both.
Yeah.
Of course you need money too, but
sure, right. But once that's met, I think it's really important to kind of really have a good understanding of like what your own actual needs are and who you are and what matters to you.
Yeah, that's the super important part. And I think college is a good opportunity for you to develop that more. Mm-hmm. Like, do I like this? Do I like that? Because you get exposed to different classes, different teaching styles, different backgrounds of even your own classmates. Like, you can become friends with them. One of them might help you get a job in the future, right? So it's important to make those connections now.
Yep.
Yeah. And throughout your life too, obviously.
Right. It's ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It never stops.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Dahlia. It's been really wonderful talking with you, and I'm just so happy that you came to the studio so we could have the conversation.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed, you know, speaking to you and hopefully having some insights to whoever might not be happy, doesn't know, it's okay. Like, things work themselves out, like, no matter what.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us today at Beyond the Beach. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. And if you're enjoying the show, please consider subscribing on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And for those of you who want to go the extra mile, leave a review or a comment. I would love to hear from you.